Hey, what's going on? This is Ola coming to you live from my Empire Pro Studios. On this episode, I want to share with you some information on how to report house flipping on your tax returns. And this is a question that comes up a lot, and I wanted to take in this video to address that. But before I get into all of that, I want you to know that you do have access to my free book. To my book for free at myempirepro.com. I'm sharing that screen right now. You do have access to that, and simply go through myempirepro.com. This is where you're going to learn how to build a massive buyers list where you're going to have the gurus in your local real estate investment house flipping association chasing you down for the next buyer, because money only comes from one person. Well, money only comes from one place, and that's from people. That's from buyers, okay? Specifically, not just people, but buyers, okay? So if you can be that, there's nobody filling that gap in the real estate investment house flipping business. Everyone else goes out there to chase after vacant properties, chase after pre-foreclosures, and then they forget that the money doesn't really come from those people. The money comes from the buyers. So if you can be the person, this the expert in the game in your local area that has the buyers on your list, a buyer list that you've built using the internet, based on what I'm going to show you for free inside of the Empire Lifestyle Secrets book at myempirepro.com. So that's that for now. Okay. So with that being said, I want to share some concept with you over the next few minutes here on how to report house flipping, gains, taxes, and things like that on your tax return. Okay. First of all, I got to give you a quick disclaimer. Okay. I am not a CPA. I am not a lawyer. I am not any of those things. I am not a professional advisor on those things. So as you can see, the first and the last on that list is professional. Make sure you seek professional help. But from a standpoint of somebody who is actively a marketer in this game, let me share with you the safest place to be, because what I'm about to share with you are not going to be shared with you by your professional CPA. They expect you to kind of know those things, okay? They expect you to be disciplined with how you handle the money that you're making. They expect you to be disciplined on how you spend money, right? On how you balance your sheets, assets, income statement, you know, assets, liabilities, income, expenses. They expect you to be responsible, but actually, my experience says that one of the hardest things for human beings to do is to balance the budget. Okay. One of the biggest things, the hardest thing for human beings to do is consistency, of course. But balancing the budget is very, very high on that list. Why? Because life just happens. You know, people just live life and they live life and they live life and life continues to happen to them. Okay. So that's why it goes that way. So with that being said, I thought this was a good topic that I could have a one-on-one conversation with you on, and help you. Maybe you can roll that into your business as you're going. And if you already exist in the business, chances are you've made mistakes. There are people out here that have been audited by IRS and things like that. And that's a nightmare. That's something you don't want to happen to you. It's the worst thing that can ever happen to you as a business person. You're already limited on time. All right. So somebody's now trying to extract time out of you so they can do some auditing with the possibility of you owing money because something went wrong in the first place. So again, like I said, I'm not a CPA. I'm just going to come to you straight up from a standpoint of a person who is an actual business builder in this game. And then you can take that and run with it and make some sense out of it yourself. Okay. The first thing I want to mention here is, the first thing I should mention is focus. Okay, where's your focus? Okay, what I notice in the game, in this game and many games, is that people get into the business and they're focused on the wrong thing. People come into the business and they're focused on legalities. People are focused on what's the right way to report house flipping returns or capital gains on the tax returns. People are focused on what's the right contract to use. I don't blame you. I used to to be that way until I realized that 99% of everything actually doesn't matter. With that being said, I'm still going to try my best to give you a quick answer today. But I want you to understand that your number one focus is bringing money in. If you master the game of creating revenue, bringing money in, increasing sales, if you master that game, everything else kind of follow that. Even in your personal life, okay? Every problem you have in your personal life right now can one way indirectly or directly be attached to you not bringing enough money in, not creating enough revenue, all the problems, okay? Your bills, well, obviously bills, right? But even personal relationship problems are all somehow, some way indirectly or directly tapped back to that one single thing that you can focus on and take care of, which is creating revenue, creating sales. That's what that means. That means people pulling out credit card and buying something, or people pulling out their check and writing you a check, or people wiring money into your bank account. That's where money comes from. And without money, there's no business. I mean, we try to shy away from that because money is not everything, but yet lack of money is everything. Okay. So it's very important. That's why I told you here, with what I teach you with regards to real estate wholesaling, house flipping, real estate investing, any of those things here, we always go back to money comes from where? From people, specifically buyers. So if you're busy chasing after deals, you're busy chasing after the next vacant property, you're stopping by every vacant property, you're driving for dollars, if that's what your focus is, then you're really missing it, because money doesn't come from those houses. Money comes from buyers. People, specifically buyers, which is why I spend time teaching you how to build your buyers list, because your buyers list is not just for you. Okay. You're in the media business at the end of the day. You're in the media business if you understand how to run a smart business empire. You're in the media business, not a real estate business. You're in the business of people. Okay. Because money comes from people. Okay. And specifically buyers. Okay. Because, you know, you could sit down there and say, hey, motivated sellers are people too. Yeah, they are. You're right. But the truth of the matter is that there's more than enough motivated sellers in the market already. And there's more than enough wholesalers looking for motivated sellers already. But the part that most people are still missing is buyers. Okay. Bringing buyers to the table for the gurus, for the motivated, for the wholesalers that already actively, creating inventory, for the realtors, right? You can bring buyers to the table for the realtors. If the realtor says, hey, but you're not licensed, I can't pay you. Okay. Screw you. I'm going to go get my license. 2 weeks. I'm back. I got a license. Pay me my money. Right. It doesn't matter. Again, 99% of everything you're learning in any of those courses don't even matter. The only thing that matters is learning how to attract people, specifically buyers, because of the way I teach you here, which is why this is what you're going to learn absolutely for free in my book, Empire Lifestyle Secrets, How to Build a Buyers List. Okay. And you can get that at myempirepro.com if you're brand new here. By the way, if you're brand new here, make sure that you subscribe to this channel, because I'm releasing videos every day. Okay. And then you can learn a lot about how the business actually works as opposed to the theory and the textbooks and all that stuff. On the streets, it's a little bit different than what you learn in the books. And you're going to learn everything about the streets here. Okay. Now, here you go. So focus is the number one thing that I feel like you should focus on creating revenue. Okay. Focus ultimately on creating revenue. Everybody else shies away from that. People want to, I started the same way too. I found motivated sellers. I just found motivated sellers, but then I have to scramble for buyers. But until I started learning, like, wait, let me start building my buyers list. You know what? Forget the cash buyers, okay? Most of the cash buyers are full of it anyway, okay? Let me not worry about cash buyers. Let me just find buyers, okay? Let me find investors. Let me build a list of investors. Let me nurture investors. Let me train and build up investors. Once you get into that game like that, of doing that, the game completely changed for you, because now you're building buyers, you're attracting buyers, and it's really, really a simple process that I lay out in the book, My Empire Pro, Empire Lifestyle Secrets. Okay. Number two thing I want you to worry about here is 50%. Okay. So as an entrepreneur, okay, I'm not talking about as a 401k investor. Now, I don't care about any of those things anyway, okay? It's just not my forte. It's not stuff that I don't have the ability to pay too much attention when you're talking about 401k or created by the American dream type of retirement plan and all those things. I lose focus once you start talking about those kind of things. It puts me to sleep, okay? But once you start talking about creating revenue and creating sales, I'm wide awake, okay? So you may notice that I'm a little bit biased right there, okay? Second thing is 50%. When you create sales or you create revenue, always remember that 50% of that money need to go sit down somewhere. You don't touch it. You don't spend it on marketing. You don't spend it on nothing. Okay, because it's capital gain. You're probably not going to give all that money to IRS, but it puts you in a very safe place where you know that you're safe in case somebody comes back and say, "Hey, you made all that $20,000 last year. Where's the money?" Right? Well, you're not going to be like, "I don't have the money, but I got 10 grand here. It's in there. How much do I owe you? I owe you 3 grand. Okay, take the 3 grand and give me the rest of it." Right? So the safe place you want to be when you're creating capital gain, that's what they call it. Some people, the laws can decide to call it capital gain tomorrow. They can decide to call it a different kind of name tomorrow. I mean, your professional CPAs will tell you what they call them. But what I'm telling you is that typically it's less than 50% of that money that belongs to IRS. So what I do personally is I make sure that I don't touch 50% of the money that comes in by way of capital gain or creating sales of any type or profit of any capital gain, you know. So if I flip the property and I made 50 grand, 25 grand is going to be sitting on the sideline for the next 12 months. Maturity time, okay, and until my CPA comes in and say, "Hey, you're good to go. You took care of that year, right?" But I always do that. Plus, you're supposed to do that anyway. You're supposed to have some savings anyway, okay? So that's my safe zone when it comes to how to report house flipping on your tax returns. Now, here's the thing, okay? I'm not too worried about the reporting on tax return itself, because this number three takes care of that. I don't sit down and do my taxes. I just don't. It's just not what I do. Okay. There are probably softwares out there that can make that you can still do it. Okay. You probably feel like you're saving money. I mean, do you if that's what you want to do. But personally, I prefer that a professional CPA takes care of it. And then because, you know, I just want them to take care of that. I pay them their fees. They save me money as much as they can save me. And I do look it over. I don't just give it to them and just say, "Go do it." But as far as arranging the paperwork, the only thing I do here is I use the app. Okay. There's an app that I use. I'm going to tell you what app it is right now. It's called QuickBooks. Okay. Let me tell you what it is right now in a second. I use it all the time. Okay. It measures my movements. If I go on an appointment, for example, at 4:30, I'm going on an appointment to a property here. But you know, pretty much, it's called Self-Employed QuickBooks. Okay. Self-Employed QuickBooks. And it pretty much tracks all my money and it tells me how much I'm already owing for the year. Okay. And, yep. It's called QuickBooks. Yep. So that's what I use, okay, to track my income. It connects to my bank account. It sees how money is going in and coming out. If I'm driving, it's measuring my mileage in the background, right? And I use that, and it tells me how much I need to send in every quarter. And yes, you should get in the habit of sending money in every quarter, okay, based on what QuickBooks is telling you. Just get in the habit of, you know, of sending that money. One second here. I'm getting a little distracted. Sorry about that, guys. Let's see. Let me see if I can log in here. Just trying to log in into my QuickBooks real quick. I'm not showing it to you though, just so you know. Okay. Yeah. So I use QuickBooks. It's called, okay. Yeah. I need to haven't logged in a minute. So it's making me reset my password. All right. So yeah, pretty much every month you go in there and you determine which expense is a business expense, which one is not. And it tells you on the go, it tells you on the go. One second here. Yep, continue. And then it's going to send me a digit code. Okay, 921-966. 921-966. So it tells me on the go which how much I need to send in for the next quarter. So because I saved this money, I essentially just I do that. I just send that money in. So I file tax return at the end of the year in April or whatever. And then whatever belongs to me belongs to me, but I don't have to be caught. I don't have to get caught up in a surprise situation. Okay. So that's what I use. Again, you can search for it on your app store or in your Google Play. It's called, you can search for QB. It comes right up. Self-employed QuickBooks, and it connects with your bank account and it tracks everything. You shouldn't be spending money as it comes in anyway. That's not what you're supposed to be doing. All right. You're supposed to have a reserve. Okay. And believe me, I've been a victim of that, of thinking, no, let me just spend it. Let me just spend it. I'll return it. You just never do. Okay. It's a bad idea. Okay. 1 second here. Yep. All right. So it's just a bad idea to say you're going to get back to it. You're going to do it again. You stay on top of your toes when it comes to that. So number one, focus. Focus on creating sales, creating revenue. You need to focus. Don't say it's enough. Okay. I learned something actually in recent times. And what I did is that when I schedule calls, consulting calls and things like that, or I schedule a sales call or anything like that, I used to be like, oh, I can only do one or two a day. No. There's a reason why airlines overbook their seats. Okay, there's a reason why they do that. And that's something that a lot of people don't pay attention to. The reason why they overbook their seats is because they say yes to everything, you know, and they keep saying yes until they can't say yes anymore. So they really never get into the habit of saying no to opportunities. Okay. So when it comes to sales and creating revenue, or somebody says, can you do this for me? Or do you know anything about this? You just want to, 1 second here, skip. Okay, interesting. Yeah, you just want to get in the habit of saying yes, yes, until you can't say yes anymore. When you can't say yes anymore, you find somebody else to say yes, and you collect some commissions on that. The point of what I'm saying is this. You need to create massive sales and massive revenue, and your focus should always be that. Secondly, 50% of any money coming in any given time, it's not yours for the next 1 year, okay? It's just simply not yours, okay? It's not yours until your CPA, your professional CPA says you're cleared, you're good to go, okay? So whatever that is, you sort that out. But that's how I stay safe. I don't worry about, if you're flipping a house right away, if you're flipping a house within a given year, you can expect that whatever money you made, you have to pay taxes on it. It's called capital gain. Now, there are some other things out there like the 1031 deferred advantage, blah, blah, blah. Again, once you start talking those things, you lose me. I can sit down, I can read it for you, I can teach you right now, but it's just not something I live my daily life by, okay? I live my daily life by creating revenue and creating sales because that trumps everything. It solves all the rest of the other problems, okay? However, like the 1031 deferred tax advantage, people worry about those things without even knowing how to create sales first. And I just laugh. I'm like, why are you wasting your time on learning how to use the right contract or learning if assign or is in your contract, what clause is on your contract? You don't know how to create sales yet, and you're worried about the legalities. Let me tell you something. People that are actively closing deals don't worry about legalities. They just don't, okay? Even if they put a video out there for you about the legalities, they typically read on it in the last 24 hours, and then they publish a video for you, right? And then you feel like they know it all the time. Now, eventually, if they're around the business long-term, of course, some things are going to stick, right? But remember, they're around the business long-term, so it sticks. It just makes sense, right? So with that being said, that's what I wanted to share with you today on how to report your house flipping. You can see all the links for the resources that I have here for you. Remember, I think you should focus on building a buyer's list. I think you should stop sending all those letters and all those mailings, especially if you know that you don't have that deep pocket. If you're not closing lots of deals already, you should not be sending mailings out there. Let the gurus send the mailings, okay? Number one, all those mailings are landing on those people's desk with other people's mailing. Okay. So it's not in your best interest to continue to send those mailings because you have about 20 mails show up the same time that somebody just got into pre-foreclosure, and then you wonder why your letter is not getting picked up. Duh, supply and demand is too much letters catching the same attention. However, if you learn how to build a bias list, typically you have that person's attention in that moment in time. And there's a specific strategy to get a bias on your list. There's a specific strategy to nurture them and pre-frame and indoctrinate them to the idea of buying rental properties, buying properties in a way that they can buy that you can make a lot more profit as a wholesaler or even as a realtor or as an investor. It doesn't matter, okay? Because you have this bias list and you have choices, you have options on that list. And it's an ever-growing list, so you never have to have a property sitting on the market for way too long, okay? All that is possible today because of the power of the internet, and you can download the book at myempirepro.com. Okay. If you're absolutely confident that you need motivated sellers, you can find a ton of them at myempirepro.com/redx. If anything I've said today make any sense to you, please give me a thumbs up. Please give me a thumbs up and make sure you subscribe and click the bell right next to the subscribe button to join the notification squad. Hopefully you've been enlightened and educated, and I'll see you on the next one, and peace.